Okay, welcome back. Buckle up. This is going to be a lot of fun this hour. There's a lot going on. It's like a soap opera that has gone a little wilder than usual. Dr. Jordan Tristan Lee Walker, a name that many of you probably don't know, will tell you who he is. Maybe you've heard about the video that discusses him in some visual detail, so to speak. It's gotten an awful lot of views. I think Project Veritas is saying they've gotten over 30 million views of that video now. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Erica, are you there?
I am here.
Good evening. What have you been doing?
Oh, a little of this, a little of that.
Okay.
Trying to stay out of trouble.
Yes, yes. Very good. All right. And for those of you new, my partner Erica and I are here three times a week to try to help all of you to the best information we can assemble in order for you to make a prudent decision on the path forward. And that path has never been more fraught with danger and duress than it is right now. And if the Rasmussen poll is correct, 73 million Americans say and have answered regarding that poll that they know or knew someone who has died because of the injection. 73 million. Now, I asked Erica to find this number for me. I didn't have time, and she found it. Everyone looks to VAERS as being the legitimate, correct source for data regarding the number of vax injured, the number of vax killed, etc. Well, VAERS is virtually useless. If you take the number that VAERS offers in any particular category and multiply it by up to 100, you might be close. You're not close with the numbers they give you. And Erica, what did you find? He said rhetorically, because he knows. What did you find when you went looking at the VAERS numbers to see how many are officially admitted as having been killed because of this so-called vaccine, this bioweapon? What did you find? This is incredible.
Yeah, really. As of January 20th, so about a week ago, the tally was 13,391.
Okay. Well, what does that mean, then, if you're talking about the Rasmussen poll? That means 73 million Americans knew the same 13,000 people who died.
Must have.
This is a joke.
A coincidence.
They all, 73 million, knew the same 13,000 people who took the shot and have died so far. Wrong. Do the math. It's probably 40 or 50 million that those 73 million do, somewhere in that range, who have died. This is mass murder now in its third year. Go back to Tiffany Dover, that poor young mother, killed, executed, right on a live stream around the world, dead. Oh, they lied about it. And this football player, Damar Hamlin, has been given the Tiffany Dover status by a number of people. He's dead, they think. I'm in agreement with that general thesis. It's quite likely. I mean, his appearance, his alleged appearance, he had a hoodie on, a red hoodie, sunglasses, and a mask. So who the hell is that? It could be anybody. Anyhow, you saw the picture. When you saw that, what did you think? Just confirmation,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. Exactly.
He's gone. And they've paid his family. The NFL has paid his family very handsomely to work with them to help protect the sport. Right? Well, Damar was a young guy, not a superstar, and he didn't get the protection that the superstars get. All the A-listers in the league, I don't care if you're talking about Major League Baseball, basketball, doesn't matter. They're not going to put them at risk. That's their whole franchise. So the younger players coming up, who were not under that umbrella probably took the shot, like in all likelihood Damar did, and he's gone now. His heart stopped twice on the playing field, two times. And we don't know what happened after that exactly, but at any rate, this is another Tiffany Dover, I would say, without question, at this point. I hope I'm wrong, but I see no reason to think I am. Not now.
Well, I mean, let's not forget all those federal agents that descended on his hospital room shortly after he was admitted. Right. Yeah.
That was to keep people going in there who were not cleared to go in there to see him on utter, absolute life support. It's simple.
Yes.
And he supposedly got out, what, 4 or 5 days later? Something like that. And he supposedly woke up in bed.
A few days later.
Intubated in bed. Said, did we win? Or something like that. That's the claim, anyhow. Or who won the game? Whatever. Anyway, it's another Tiffany Dover. And it is, I guess, the family taken care of, and they'll make a deal. Most people would, I suppose.
Sure.
You know, what, $5 million? Here, shut up. Help us out.
Yep.
You can't, in Europe, soccer players are quite expendable. Over 600 in the last year plus have fallen over dead or dying on the field. If that had happened here, the NFL or the NBA or MLB would be in utter chaos and virtually destroyed in many ways. So they can't have that happen here. Okay.
No, they've got to preserve the confidence in the vaccine. You can't be having a high-profile football player.
Well, and don't forget that those three professional sports leagues, and I guess hockey too, are crucial at keeping the sheep occupied.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
Big money.
People identify. Yeah. They identify with those teams as part of themselves, part of their being. No joke. They really relate to these teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
I suspect, you know, there'll be another episode.
Sure there will.
Of this sort before the season is over.
Yes, there will be. Okay. Dr. Jordan Tristan Lee Walker. I'm not going to go through the story. I'm sure most all of you have seen the video. You get it. Homosexual, got caught in a sting operation. He was meeting up for the third date, allegedly, with another homosexual at a restaurant. And instead of the guy showing up that he thought he was going to see, O'Keefe and Project Veritas show up with cameras and mics and start asking him questions and then showing him on an iPad his second date or first date in which he was bragging about Pfizer, his employer, probably ex-employer by now, mutating the virus, or allegedly mutating the virus, or something like that. It was a little weird. Of course, this Jordan Tristan Lee Walker is a little weird, too. The whole thing's a little weird. Any comment on this? And we're going to play. Peter McCullough had some. He weighed in on that today, I believe. We're going to touch on that a little bit. Anything to say?
No, it's a lot of cheap talk. They don't have to mutate the virus. The virus is mutating on its own.
Everybody who has had it.
I mean, all these people who have been injected are all spawning. Right. You know, variants of different types. You know, which one emerges as the dominant one will depend on a variety of factors. But the spike protein has so many different features about it. It's, you know, at some point, I wouldn't say that. But at any rate, this thing has the potential to keep mutating into forms ad infinitum. You know, they don't have to really do anything now except sit back. As I said, these people have been injected. They are now immune compromised, which makes them perfect for gain of function enhancement.
In their own bodies.
Yes, in their own bodies. And they will be able to spread these variants. And you know, it'll be... I guess, a competition among the swarms of these different variants that emerge, you know, which one's going to dominate.
Right.
So I think that's a lot of talk.
I agree. I don't know. He admitted he was trying to impress a date. That was one of the statements that came out of his rather shook up mouth. I was trying to impress a date, that's all. And I'm not a scientist. He says, I'm not a doctor. Trying to deny all that. So I don't know. He went to Northeast Southwestern Texas State Community College University or something and allegedly got his medical diploma. He was trying to get into a program to do his residency, and then I guess he quit. He's never seen a patient. Then he went to work for Pfizer as allegedly some kind of a consulting advisor or something. I don't know. We it's a little nebulous right now. But it did show that clearly the potential for gossip at Pfizer is present. If he did know anything of real substance, I don't know. But the homosexual community in any business is rather notoriously vicious at times in terms of backbiting, gossiping, backstabbing. It's just what it is. That's just the way it goes. So Dr. Jordan Tristan Lee Walker is the guy in the video. Now here's Dr. Peter McCullough weighing in on this whole thing today. Remember, over 30 million views so far, according to Project Veritas. Here we go. Hold on. There we go.
Knowledge of what Project Veritas is doing, but let's just take the subject who now probably will become a target of federal international probes. His name is Jordan Tristan Lee Walker. Let's call him Dr. Walker. What we know about him is he graduated from Yale, and then he spent a year trying to get into medical school. He actually got into University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, the same medical school I went to. I graduated in 1988 as an Alpha Omega Alpha graduate. That's the top 7% of graduates in the whole country. I'm not sure Dr. Walker was AOA. I didn't think he made it. But he graduated in 2018, and he may not have actually matched in residency. He took some type of rotating internship up in New York or as a research and development director. Now, this is a guy, you know, he hasn't even hardly seen patients, let alone done research or have any academic qualifications, certainly not in vaccines or virology. And he holds a title in Pfizer as a research and development director. And then he basically...
What does that say about Pfizer? Hiring somebody like that with so little background, zero in virology, apparently, as a research and development director at Pfizer?
Well, let's be honest. You know, Pfizer is huge. And... I'm sure this guy is not in the upper echelons of decision making.
He's not a Michael
when it comes to this particular.
Right.
Yeah. It's just some guy running his mouth.
That's it. Okay, here we go.
Entrained, and he's entrained in what appears to be a male honey trap. Meaning there is an alluring potential male partner for him, implying that he's either bisexual or homosexual. And he's on a third date with this person who he's hoping to even have more dates with, and he's drinking. And what he discloses, get them into circulation and be ready to have a vaccine that covers these new strains. And people are using the term planned evolution or, in a sense, kind of a designer virology pandemic model. Because what happened is our CDC just met on this and said they want to go to annual boosters for COVID-19 like it's done with the influenza. But the problem here is that SARS-CoV-2 is mutating ahead of the manufacturers. And when by the time the manufacturers come out with a product, it's too late. So now he suggests doing the opposite of actually creating disease in populations and then having a vaccine to anticipate it. And the person talking to him says, you know, don't you think that's going to be bad for the world? And he says something to the effect of, yeah, confronted by James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. And this young guy, it's hard to know if he's intoxicated or not, but he simply loses his marbles. It becomes a fracas. He's all over the place. His cell phone goes on the ground. Next thing you know, he's wiping himself on the ground. He's all over the place. He runs out into the street, tries to stop traffic. This guy basically just loses his marbles when he figures out that he's been stung. He's actually been in a sting operation.
Okay. So that's part of what Dr. Peter McCullough had to say about this. It's very soap opera. It's like a command performance. The video is actually quite funny if you look at it for what it is. Somebody got caught, and that somebody saw his career going up in smoke. What career? Who knows? As Erica said, it's a huge company. Research and development? What is that? What does that mean? What does that really mean? All right, we've got Dr. Robert Malone here, who was talked to and interviewed by Project Veritas, and here's what Bobby has to say.
We talked to Dr. Robert Malone, physician, scientist, and author, to get his take on the comments made by Jordan Walker.
You're gaining function. You're creating a new function in virus one by adding elements from virus two, infecting one monkey and then another monkey. That's called serial passage. That appears to have been one of the technologies deployed in the Wuhan Institute of Virology with the humanized mouse strains that I believe were obtained from EcoHealth Alliance. That's an example of directed evolution. The gentleman seems to have absolutely no moral compass at all about what he's doing. The hubris and arrogance and immaturity, if this is the quality of individuals within Pfizer that are making these huge decisions that risk global public health with such a casual disregard for the human toll, it's profoundly corrupt in terms of would it be feasible for Pfizer to circumvent international or national law. I think that is undeniable. And the gentleman in your investigative work has clearly indicated that Pfizer believes that it has successfully captured the regulatory apparatus of the United States government and presumably worldwide. Pfizer has completed regulatory capture, is quite proud of it.
With governments turning a blind eye and Pfizer hiding information from the public, this is an ongoing story.
All right, that's James O'Keefe right there of Veritas. So, okay, what we have here is, and I think Malone did a good job opening the door to the overall credibility of Pfizer. This guy is a research and development director? Come on. There's the old saw about homosexuality leads to national security weakness. And the same thing can be said about Pfizer, and I think we've just seen that demonstrated. Their security has been blown all to hell. This is the caliber of people there? How big is the homosexual community, which can always be blackmailed, in Pfizer? What kind of people really are there? Who is this guy? How did he get that job? If he has a job there of that stature at all. Maybe it's an entry-level position. Director of Research and Development, you know, 10, and you slowly move down to 1. I don't know. It's not a good sign. None of it is bad.
Well, so, if you remember, was it last summer or the summer before, there was a Project Veritas video of another Pfizer employee that was advocating forced vaccinating people, going door-to-door and forced vaccinating people. Remember that one?
I remember that. Okay, well, we'll see where this goes, and Will it end up in the courts? I don't know. It could be. I remember.
I don't know. I think they're making more out of it than needs to be made. They could be putting anything they want in these injections to
and
cause
are.
Directed evolution of the, yes, of the, of
they're
the virus.
They're putting everything they want in the injections. Correct.
Right.
So there
you
we
know,
go.
And, right. And we already have a variant now, this XBB, that they know will not or can evade any prior antibodies that would have been formed against prior variants. There's no protection right now for anybody. And if you do have antibodies to a prior variant, there's a possibility that if you encounter this one, that you will be at risk of certainly a higher risk of infection and more severe disease because of this antibody-dependent enhancement.
Yeah, exactly. I actually would have rather heard Malone talk about the Rasmussen poll of 73 million Americans knowing someone who's died, allegedly, from the shot, as opposed to the VAERS official number of 13,800 dead to date, total.
Right.
There's a little bit of a story there, I would think, if I were a journalist. I think I was a journalist once, in fact. Okay. Next up, New York vax legislation. The subject of Dr. Peterson Pierre's little commentary today. You want to set this up at all?
Yeah, apparently there's some worrisome legislation coming up for vote again. These are more tyrannical laws that are on the agenda to be passed if people can't stop them. Apparently they were stopped once before in 2022, but now here we go again. And they are really frightening.
All right. Dr. Peterson Pierre with another little daily dose, that he calls it. Hold on, I got to get through this ad. Rats. All right.
Hey, freedom lovers, this is Dr. Peterson Pierre with America's Frontline Doctors bringing you today's Daily Dose. So over a dozen failed bills in 2022 could be up for a vote again during New York's legislative session, which is basically focused on a lot of vax mandates, including forcing kids to receive COVID vaccines to attend school, giving minors the ability to consent to medical procedure, meaning receiving the shots at school without parental consent or knowledge, and abolishing religious exemptions for all workers and college students. There is clearly an agenda at play here, which has nothing to do with your safety. We already know the shots are not safe and effective. They don't stop infection or transmission. In fact, there are several studies that show the more shots you receive, the greater likelihood you are to get COVID. Furthermore, these boosters have not been tested and they don't work. And I'm sorry, didn't the New York State Supreme Court already order back to work with back pay all the fired New York City employees who were let go because they refused to take the shots? Tyrants never give up, and neither should we. This is a fight for the very freedoms that we enjoy in this country every single day, yet sadly, we take for granted. Ladies and gentlemen, only the truth will set you free. Stay tuned for the next Daily Dose.
It's actually a fight for the survival of this so-called dominant species on the planet. That's where we really are at. Nothing short of that. We are on the edge of an ELE.
Yeah. Yep, this is an existential threat. There's no doubt.
Okay. Now we've got a story from the UK that
It was circulated in the UK, but it's actually from the U.S.
All right, very good. Okay, what are we about to see here or listen to?
This is the obstetrician, Dr. James Thorpe, who mm-hmm. is practicing in, I believe it's St. Louis, Missouri. And he is interviewed by Big Tree with a delivery room nurse named Michelle. And Michelle has gained fame for her willingness to come forward and expose what is going on in the delivery rooms these days. And it's nothing short of a horror show.
All right. Here we go. It's a short video again, but dynamite.
I'm a postpartum nurse. Of all the carnage that I've been seeing in March.
I'm going to start that again.
I'm a postpartum nurse. I've thought about quitting multiple times because of all the carnage that I've been seeing. In March of 2021, it was about 2 months after the vaccines really started to roll out, I noticed that in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, it used to always have about 50 babies in there. And all of a sudden in March 2021, there were 80 babies in the NICU. So that's a very high number for the NICU. And then in April of 2021, I started noticing that there were fetal demises on the board in labor and delivery. A fetal demise is a baby that passed away in utero, but they're usually full term. So, you know, anywhere from 32 weeks to 40 weeks even. I would look on their charts, and I was noticing that a lot of these mothers had received the vaccine.
What would be the average rate of, you know, stillborn fetal demise on your floor?
When I started working there in November 2020, there used to be one or two every 2 or 3 months. Since March of 2021, there were one or two each week.
We could just say, well, this is just Michelle's opinion. Today, she has bravely released to us an internal document, an email from that hospital system that was sent out to those working there. This went out to the staff. Good evening, everyone. Well, it seems as though the increase of demise patients that we are seeing is going to continue. There were 22 demises in August, which ties the record number of demises in July 2021. And so far in September, there have been 7, and it's only the 8th day of the month. I have to say, I feel like the oxygen has just been sucked out of my lungs. To read that from someone that is as objective, I guess, as you could get, working for the system itself, it now corroborates what you're seeing with your own eyes. And for anyone that was having a question anywhere around the world now, this is a shocking, shocking email.
Okay, and that was Del Bigtree talking. He was conducting the interview with that nurse, Gershman, and Dr. James Thorpe. All right. This is going on all over. Look how they're using words again. Demise. A demise. Well, it's a death.
Yeah.
It's not a demise. I like to demise if you want it to be. But they play these games all the time. It bothers me. It's semantic war on all of us. It's a death. Baby dead. Here's another story that Erica found. VAERS has a report of another tragic death of a baby boy. I'm going to let her finish. This is beyond belief what this kid was murdered. There's no other way to phrase it. He didn't demise, he was murdered. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I believe this was a 6-month-old baby boy who was given 9 vaccines at once, including the COVID shot.
That's the booster. That's the bivalent booster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A 6-month-old baby given 9 vaccines at one time, topped off with the Pfizer bivalent booster.
Yeah. So he was given, I've got the list here, rotavirus, Prevnar 13, that's a pneumococcus virus vaccine, flu, diphtheria, which also had Hep B and polio and diphtheria and the COVID-19.
All at one time, a six-month-old baby who doesn't even have an immune system.
Oh, and the flu vaccine was a quadrivalent, so I guess that counts as four.
Four. So he got a quad.
That's unbelievable.
Flu. This is it's murder. I'm sorry. It's beyond negligence. It's beyond incompetence. It's murder. It's like someone said, we're going to kill this kid. Let's give him nine at once. Nine.
I just don't understand the doctors that where did they receive their training? And this is beyond incompetent.
I couldn't agree more.
Go ahead.
How many children have been murdered so far? How many little innocent children? And adults are not innocent anymore. They're victims. I get that, of course. But a child? Childhood dreams, childhood joys, the happiest time of life, supposedly. And these children are being murdered. Around the world. Many of you listening around the world now. Same thing's going on in your country. You know that. This is not a joke.
Any doctor that could do this is just, it's on a level of an executioner. So that should give you pause if you're thinking about going to the hospital for treatment for anything.
For anything. No joke. Wow. Just boggles the mind. I'm looking at the chart here of this list of ingredients that they gave this little child. Killed him. It happens every day in this country. People are being killed every day, every minute, probably. 13,800 official dead because of the vax in this country, according to VAERS. And yet 73 million people know someone who has died ostensibly, allegedly, purportedly, because of post-vax conditions. They're dead. They were murdered too. And remember, there's nothing experimental about this so-called vaccine. It is not experimental. It is a carefully constructed, demonically, satanically evil biological weapon created under the aegis and auspices of the American taxpayer through the Pentagon and the Department of Defense. Created, put together, under contract by Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, etc. So we are looking at the end of the line here. This is the end of the line unless we do something about it, and I don't know what we can do when 6 billion people have already been injected with this death. What are we to do? I'm not saying they're
and
all going to die.
Don't forget, according to the Rasmussen poll, 52% of Americans still have confidence in these things.
That is every bit as appalling as the 73 million who know someone who's died because of the shots. 52% still have confidence. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take. It's too late.
Erica, it's too late. We've talked about this for a long, long time. It's too late. The barn's empty. The door is open. It's gone. And whatever is going to happen to these people who have taken the injection is going to happen. And we're on a course now. If that 73 million, and that was a shocker to me personally, is correct, then we are on course for potentially the Deagle.com numbers to come true. We have 2 years. At this rate, what will the total be in 2 years, January 2025? It could
be. Particularly since people are still taking them.
52% trust the government. Trust the government. We have no government. Damn.
No.
Okay. Just think of that little baby for a moment. Nine, a doctor somewhere ordered nine vaccines given to that child at the same time, the same day. That's murder. That bivalent booster alone will kill somebody at that age, and it kills adults commonly.
Tragic.
Okay, it's overwhelming and beyond words. Okay, cardiac amyloidosis. Now I that has slipped off my desk. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not seeing it. Why don't you go ahead and take that?
Let me see.
You sent it earlier.
I'll send it earlier.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Well, it was basically an article informing physicians to be on the lookout for what would be the signs and symptoms of cardiac amyloidosis. And again, this amyloidosis, once upon a time, was a rare disease. And it's rather timely that they would be putting an article out like this right now, because we have so many people with myocarditis now, pericarditis, and they're not being treated. They many times are being told there's nothing showing up on any of their scans, their blood work looks fine, just go home and rest or don't rest. So it's likely that some of these people, and this has been speculated, have amyloid deposits in hearts at this point because of the fibrils that form as a result of the spike protein being in these tissues.
Right.
And, you know, at a certain point, it becomes a chronic condition known as amyloidosis. So they're schooling medical professionals now to know what to look for, or at least to suspect that, for people with certain issues pertaining to their heart.
This is an article from the American College of Cardiology, and it issued a consensus decision. They call it a pathway, highlighting the importance of recognizing and diagnosing what Eric is talking about, cardiac amyloidosis, right? Whether it be plaques, fibrils, or major serious clots, doesn't matter. Amyloidosis will destroy any organ in the body, any tissue. It's what causes microclotting, right?
Well,
spike protein
in the blood.
Goes in your, spike protein is in your blood. It goes into your brain. What does it do in your brain? It goes along with the blood cells through the capillaries. Remember, that's one cell at a time moving through your brain to bring nourishment, oxygen to the brain. And the spike goes in there and shuts down that capillary. I'm going to keep the story very simple. And that capillary then is essentially offline, and the cells that were being fed and nourished by it are dead. They die. Lights wink out in your brain, all over your brain. And depending upon where those lights are that wink out, your personality can be damaged, your intellect can be damaged, your emotional stability can be damaged. Anything can be damaged. The brain is a very incredible instrument. And when little lights, little parts of that brain start to wink out because of the spike protein shutting down capillary blood flow, microclotting, you got trouble. Big trouble. All right, this document mentions what cardiac amyloidosis is, and it goes on from there, a couple of doctors involved. In this context of an under-recognized disease where early diagnosis can lead to more effective therapies, the purpose of the expert decision pathway was to offer clinicians insight into three important areas, the doctor who wrote it explained. First, the clinical clues that should trigger a diagnostic algorithm to be executed by general cardiologists, as well as diagnostic pitfalls that would require consultation with a cardiac amyloid specialist. They would be in demand now, wouldn't they? A cardiac amyloid specialist. Secondly, the most important extracardiac manifestations and when to establish multidisciplinary collaboration. And third, the barriers to equitable care and the promise of future therapies. Well, good luck. Good luck. You've got plaques in your heart, fibrils, you've got clots in your heart. How are you going to get rid of those? That's what they're trying to look at anyway, so I guess bravo for the effort. All right, there you go with that one. All right, let's, you ready to go over to our human side of the ledger here?
Yeah.
I think we've covered most of it.
I guess we could go right into myocarditis maybe, since we're
sure,
on that topic.
That's January 25th, right?
Yeah, well, there's one there. There's one from today.
Okay. Go ahead. I don't see the one from today. Oh, there it is. Myocarditis worsening with time. Go ahead. Take that. Let's go.
This gets depressing, and I just want to say that a lot of these support groups I'm noticing, even though their numbers have grown over the last year, 2 years, and they were initially very, very busy, the activity has dropped off. Now, part of that might be the censorship. People are just sick and tired of dealing with the censorship on Facebook, so they just go elsewhere. But I also sense that there's a feelings of resignation with a lot of these people that, you know, they were hopeful in the beginning that if they could just get, you know, figure out what was wrong with them and get some treatment, they'd be okay. But, you know, some of these people are going on 2 years now of suffering from these really debilitating, crippling injuries, and they don't see a lot of hope. So here's one that sort of alludes to that. This is a woman. So I guess the longer this goes on, the worse it gets. I finally got the diagnosis 2 weeks ago and started on 0.6 milligrams of colchicine once per day. I have been alternating 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen and 1,200 milligrams of Tylenol for 3 days, and I'm still in pain, maybe even worse. So angry that my cardiologist didn't listen to me last February. I have an appointment with him tomorrow, and I will be telling him a few things. My husband is angry, too, so he is coming with me. Hopefully, the doctor survives my appointment. I'm also seeing a rheumatologist on Thursday. I'm going to try to get one of them to prescribe Kineret or Anakinra. I'm not messing around. I want the best chance of getting rid of this ASAP.
See, this is a very important little post for a number of reasons. One, the amount of reporting from people of myocarditis having been diagnosed, pericarditis, is virtually unknown by all of you listening, I would say. It's just their numbers aren't out there. They're just not being reported. They don't talk about these things on the mainstream media, except as some rare occurrence. No, they're not rare occurrences at all. And once you get myocarditis in many cases, and probably pericarditis as well, you have pain in your heart virtually around the clock in many cases. It doesn't stop. That's why so many, among other things, are looking at this pain as an indicator of damage. And that damage now is what these five-year lifespan projections are predicated upon. This is damage to the heart that causes pain. It's not a joke. And obviously these many cardiologists are not relating to the patient in real-world terms. They're telling him to take Tylenol, do this, do that. Okay, fine. Maybe that helps the pain a little bit. But the damage is the damage is the damage to the heart. And many of them are being put on heart transplant lists. And we know about that, what a joke that is. Go ahead.
I'm really starting to lose respect for a lot of these doctors. It's, you know, some of them have probably been told not to correlate the vaccine with these injuries, But then others, I mean, they're not even helping, remotely helping people.
No.
And I wonder, do they really just not know what to do or what to look for? I mean, the incompetence is just epic.
Perfect word. Perfect. It is epic.
I really wonder what they're turning out for medical, you know, professionals these days.
Well, maybe
pay enough
in
money
some
and
cases,
you get a degree and you're good to go.
That's it. Well, look at Dr. Walker.
Right.
What the hell's he doing? If you think about this, some of these cardiologists probably know exactly what's going on. Well, this patient has been given myocarditis, severe heart injuries, which are going to take this patient out in 3, 4, 5 years. So what am I going to do? Tell them that? Nope, can't do that. So I think human nature being what it is, many of them who know what's going on, and certainly a lot of them do, back away from it. And they just keep the patient at arm's distance and give them little helpful hints, run the obligatory tests, and say, well, you've got myocarditis. They don't tell them you ought to be on a heart transplant list, which is a joke, because the hearts you get are going to be full of spike protein in most cases. They don't have spike-free organ transplants yet that I've heard about. It just gets worse and worse. Whoever designed this thing, this bioweapon, really just broke the mold. This thing is so evil, as we've been telling you for virtually 2 years now, going on 3 next week. This thing is incredible in its sophistication, and I'm using that term in a negative sense, and its ability to find multiple pathways to destroy life. It is really horrible, this shot.
Yeah, we have another thread here, if we have the time to do it, on this myocarditis and people realizing, all right, I'm on January 25th.
Got it. Okay.
First one? Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Someone asked, can we beat the spike permanently, or will we fight it to the end? And that started an interesting discussion. First one says, well, don't take any more. Someone says, of what? The shot? Yes. First person, their poster says, I never got any boosters. I'm not sure what you're trying to prove with your comment.
Wow. Okay, next part of that thread. David says, I'm just saying not to get any more. Whoops, that's to David. Ruth says to David, I'm just saying not to get any more. Not directing this comment at anyone in particular, just warning people not to keep taking the poison. Next comment to that, no one really knows yet. Just making sure to detox and hope the poison will leave your body. I would detox with EDTA chelation. Next one says...
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either. I read about that. Still not sure, but I am taking natokinase, and which thins the blood, busts clots, and degrades the spike. Fair statement?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Is there any improvement?
You know.
Go ahead. Okay.
I wouldn't say it's 100%. You really do need to attack the clotting issue aggressively, and the natokinase will help somewhat. But there's other strategies that need to be employed too.
Okay, is there any improvement with natokinase? Is asked, and the response is, not 100%, but I think there is some. I'm also taking a lot of different supplements, and everything is getting better slowly. Laura says, I hope so. Me too. It might take a while, but I want to think we can do it. Another one adds, I haven't seen any credible evidence that spike protein stays in the body for longer than a few days. Well, this fellow or woman is still back at the train station.
I think so.
Has it been established in any study? And then there's a response to that. Are they actually looking? I know they did a post-mortem study of individuals that likely died of the vax, and the only difference they noted compared to those dying from other causes was spike protein still circulating freely in the body. It was the Cleveland University that did the work, I think. And the final comment on that line, that page, is it possible to share the link if you can find it? Go ahead and do one more on this.
All right, the next couple, it's just about the link. Okay, and then someone says, once the juice is in you, it will keep making copies forever. It sounds harsh, but everything is pointing to that direction. And someone says, that wasn't the intention of the technology when it was made, though. I'm hopeful this isn't the case. And the first guy says, no, it was meant to do this. And another one says, no, it wasn't. It just was not tested accurately. And another said, well, maybe both of you are right. Either way, why argue or debate over it? Arguing is futile and a waste of precious energy, time, and life that we may not have much to enjoy. Why not instead stay focused on living the life you have today, healthy, positive, and relaxed?
Well, okay, what did that just tell all of us? It told a lot of us that people who are in the myocarditis, pericarditis group don't know much of anything about what they're really dealing with or what this whole biological weapon assault on humanity is all about. They don't have a clue. They think the spike will go away in a few days or a week. One person said it accurately. No. It'll keep right on making it. It's not going to stop. We speculated that a long time ago. Yeah.
They don't understand what's been done to them.
No. And their doctor's not telling them. They're not getting any medical advice that is helpful at all.
No.
These people have already been to doctors. And doctors either don't know or don't want to tell, one way or the other.
That's right. I have seen some people, they really took the bull by the horns, injured people with this myocarditis, and they actually have made improvements. I would hardly say they're back to where they were, but there's people that, you know, they really are helpless. They wallow in this helplessness, waiting for the doctors to do something, and just leaving it up to doctors, and it's not a good place
Can't
to be.
That. No. All right, we're running late, so thank you all for caring out there and for being with us again. Thank you, partner. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll be right back with more after this.